And hello out there in movie land. Welcome to Fat Guys, the movies you are listening to, our internet exclusive Sunday show alongside Kevin Carr. I am Neil Miller. Say hello, Kevin.
You didn't even give me a chance to say hi. I'm Kevin Carr.
Okay.
All right, this is already, I'm mad already, and you reminded me of a bad experience I had last week.
Nice.
But anyways,
let's get into it. Let's do some contact info to start.
Yes, okay. Just point me in the right direction. If you want to get us on the internet, which you probably already have because this is our internet exclusive, not playing on radio because we swear like sailors and we don't care about the time.
We fully intend to swear like sailors today.
Oh, we will. Trust me. I am going to lay it out on the line. www.fatguysatthemovies.com. You can catch us on iTunes or Dig. I did that last week, didn't I?
Yeah.
iTunes or Dig.
You have a problem with the plural.
Podcast Alley. I know. I also did that with Kristen's website. I didn't say nights and weekends. I said night and weekend or something like that. Whatever. Yeah.
This show is sponsored by ADD.
Yeah, I'm completely out of it. We'll explain more. I haven't even gotten through the contact information. Podcast Alley, you can search us on any of those. Email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. And you can call us and leave a voicemail, and we got some of those. 614-388-8735. That's 388-TREK.
Nice.
Makes no sense, but whatever.
All right, and
on
this week's internet exclusive show, we are going to do a little box office recap.
Shit. I had to say that because it's the internet exclusive show. We can say shit.
We're going
to
talk about how Evan Almighty's Ark sank at the box office. We're also going to do DVD roundup, where we're going to set our sights on Shooter. Also, Christina Ricci is going to drop by and get half naked.
Fully naked, dude. She was naked. There was only one thing you didn't see, and it was like, I don't know. It was the shape of a
triangle.
Tiny little piece of pizza.
And we're going to go swimming in the ghetto with the cast of Pride. Yes. So,
Neil the racist destroy the show.
Yes.
Say how much he hated it.
Also, we're going to have our third segment this week. Our open op-ed segment is going to be about movie theater etiquette.
Yes.
So we're going to have all kinds of fun with that. And then, of course, we're going to give you...
Spurred on by my bad experience last week, which...
Yes, and then, of course, to finish it off, we are going to give you a little preview of what is coming up. As you can imagine, we've got some big movies coming up in the next 10 days, so that's going to be very exciting. But first, Kevin, I can smell that you have been outdoors
for the last three, four days, whatever.
So how was your weekend? Where did you come from?
Where did I go?
Where did you just come from?
I could give you my mom's phone number, and you can say, "Hey, where did I come? This is where I came from."
So
Where did you go camping,
and what did you eat?
I went on a flurry of competitive eating this weekend and camping in Pennsylvania. Several things I've learned. First of all, nothing against the people in Pennsylvania, but the idiots that are running the highway system there need to be shot. Have you ever driven the Pennsylvania Turnpike? It's the most annoying
thing. I don't think
I've
ever driven the Turnpike. Like, I went to that outlet mall they have.
Which
one?
It's
like really awesome. I don't know, the one where you don't have to pay taxes.
There's like 9 million outlet malls.
That's like the closest one. It was like 2 hours away.
It's like 2.5 to get to Pennsylvania. How fast did you drive?
I drive fast.
Okay.
I'm the guy that gets from here to Cleveland in like an hour.
He gets there before you leave. That's how fast you go.
Exactly.
No, so it was a competitive eating weekend. I ate at the Nathan's qualifier at the Molly Pitcher rest area in the New Jersey Turnpike. Learned how terrible. What?
A rest area.
No, seriously. They like take their rest areas seriously in New Jersey.
We're going to have this festival at rest area.
No,
out there
seriously.
On
it's like it's on the turnpike, and it's like, you know, if you ever, you've driven like the Ohio Turnpike, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know how they have like the rest areas and they have like the inside shopping and stuff? This thing, they like have this like massive fair. It was like a little street fair in the rest area. It was bizarre.
So that crabby travelers can get off and enjoy.
Exactly. Oh, it was hysterical because first of all, you're on the New Jersey Turnpike, which sucks ass anyways, because, you know, again, nothing against people in New Jersey, but I guess the people who failed traffic school in Pennsylvania in designing city planners and stuff all went to New Jersey and said, let's put two lanes coming out of New York City.
Yeah. Okay.
You know,
nice.
So then you pull off on this turnpike because it's all crowded and packed because everyone's trying to get to the freeway farther down, and there's nowhere to park because they have so many people there for this little street fair type thing. and it was a Nathan's qualifier, hot dogs, with the Nathan's Hot Dogs, and I didn't win. I didn't expect to win.
You didn't qualify?
No. Mm. Pat Philbin, Pat from Munaki, from the Opie and Andy show, and Anthony show on XM Satellite Radio, and right. I don't know what city they're out of.
They're in New York, I think.
Are they?
Yeah, I think.
Philadelphia, maybe?
I don't know.
Maybe Philadelphia. Whatever. I don't know. Wherever they are. But Pat from Munaki, who's kind of a stunt boy on there, he won with 27 hot dogs and buns in 12 minutes.
Wow. Not even close to the world record, but impressive nonetheless.
Dude, I'd like to see you try and eat more than 5 of these dogs. Yeah, they're tough.
Yeah.
Because they're like Polish sausage, man. They're like really spicy, and they're awesome hot dogs until you eat like more than about 4 or 5, and then the spices start to just fry your brain.
Wow.
So I only did like 10 and a quarter. It was pathetic.
Ugh,
but I was saving myself for shoe fly pie.
Okay.
Shoe fly pie was the next day in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You know what shoe fly pie is? I brought a sample for you. Did you bring a fork?
I've been eyeing that.
Here. I want you to taste it.
I don't have a fork.
Go get a fork.
All right, I'll be right back.
I'll finish explaining
finish
about
your story, and I'm going to get a fork.
Hot dogs and everything like that. Of course, there are some other big names there. Alan Shredder Goldstein came in second, I believe, with 24 hot dogs and buns. Big Brian Subich from Johnstown, Pennsylvania, he came in with, I think, 19 hot dogs and buns. Arturo Rios, a new guy on this on the circuit, he kind of made a splash with Crystal Burgers last year, and he did like 20 some. He was really feeling nauseous afterwards.
Does this have cinnamon?
It's like cinnamon and molasses. That's shoe fly pie, not the hot dogs. But Arturo then went on to win.
Say, this doesn't look like a hot dog, Kevin.
Well, then Arturo went on to win the Pig's Feet Championship the next day in somewhere. I forget whatever it is. Do you like that?
Yeah, but this is like, let me tell you something.
It's a heavy pie, man.
It's a heavy pie. Like, if I ate like more than about 3 bites of this, I'd probably die.
Yeah, I ate 4.5 pounds of that pie in 8 minutes.
Dear God.
Which is a little over a pie and a half.
It's good pie, though.
It's like each pie is like 2.7 pounds. So I ate a little over 1.5 pies. And I didn't even place. I was like, I don't know, like 11th place. Do you know how much the guy who won ate?
Is it going to make me throw up?
Do you want me to tell you after you're done eating the pie?
Tell me now so that I can stop or throw
11,
up.
Over 11 pounds of pie.
Pounds.
Pounds. It was like 5 pies or something like that. 11 pounds. His name's Pat Bertoletti from Chicago, one of the best eaters in the world. In fact,
we've talked about him before in this.
Yeah,
show.
And I'm gonna go on and say this because I want to make sure this is out there before the 4th of July. I believe that he actually has a chance to possibly also beat Kobayashi because he ate 46 hot dogs in his qualifier.
Dear Lord.
46. And everyone's all focusing on Joey Chestnut, and that's great because Joey's a phenomenal eater. He ate 59 and a half hot dogs, blew away Kobayashi's record. He came within 2 dogs of him last year. I have a feeling that Joey's going to mop the floor with Kobayashi. Kobayashi's already out there sort of making excuses. At first, there was a thing he's saying, I may not show up. His manager was saying, oh, he may not be there because his mother died, which is a shame. I mean, I feel for him. That's bad, but his mother died like 3 months ago. And I know, you know, culturally sometimes there's long mourning periods, but come on, this is your title here. And then there was something that recently came out, and this is through a translated internet site, and it talks about Kobayashi. It just recently hit the news. Kobayashi saying he had something wrong with his jaw. So I don't know. I don't know whether he's doing this
there's
or
injury,
people.
Like, is there a disabled list for competitive eating?
Well, I don't think it has anything to do with. It's not like an injury he sustained. It's just that he has an. I don't know what. I don't know much about it.
His jaw won't come unhinged, so he can fit like 6 hot dogs in once.
Yeah, he can only eat like 49 hot dogs. I don't know, but whatever it is, Joey is the favored one to win. Actually, a lot of people are looking at that, but don't discount Pat Bertoletti. He hit 46 in competition. This guy's going to rock the house. I wouldn't be surprised if he ate over 52. Or 53, which is Kobe's record. Whether or not he can beat Kobe, I don't know.
Yeah, I also want to let our listeners know that I pretty much just mowed through.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I couldn't eat more than 3 bites of this. And you just like sucked the whole thing down, man. It was actually pretty disgusting. I had to keep talking.
If there was any doubt of why our show is called Fat Guys of the Movies, it is now gone.
And I ate 11 of those, man. You didn't even finish the crust, man.
Dude, I'll finish it. We got a whole show to do.
11
here.
Slices of that pie.
We got a whole hour to fill here.
That's nothing compared to Pat and Sonia and Bob Shout, who ate.
Dear God.
Bob and Sonia ate like almost tight. Sonia just barely beat out Bob. She ate 9.3 pounds, and Bob ate 9 and a quarter pounds, which was his record from last year. It's like you eat like you get about through half a pie. It's great for the first couple slices. You get through half a pie, then you're kind of like starting to feel like okay.
Right. You're like,
And then like by the time
I'm starting
you're done
to feel
with
it right now.
When you finish that first pie, like your sugar rush finally hits, and you're just like you're like queasy. You're like, whoa, what the hell, you know?
Exactly.
Like pink elephants are coming out of the crowd and stuff, and that's just from like that's cool. Molasses, man.
Nice.
I don't want to have anything to do with that pie right now because I weigh too much of it this week.
Dear. All right, well, I think we need to move on.
No, we still got competitive eating news. I got another gift for you.
Oh, dear.
A gift from our friend. Hold on. Magical Studio in the Sky is not big enough. Okay. I have an advanced copy.
Nice.
Of Crazy Legs Connie, Zen and the Art of Competitive Eating, specifically for you. He signed it for you. Read it out loud. Let everybody know. Can you read it?
Yes, this is pretty awesome. All right, it's the official selection. Oh, it's an official selection from the Tribeca Film Festival.
Yeah,
very nice. And it says, Neil, you will never be a douche to me. Eat all you can, Crazy Legs.
There's a funny story about how that got signed. Is I was standing there and Legs is giving it to me, and he pulls it out. He starts pulling out a penny. He wanted to sign it too. He specifically gave me an extra copy for you.
Nice.
So we can plug the hell out of it on Film School Rejects.
He's cool.
And we'll do a review of this later on
when it comes out.
But it's sort of like that press only copy.
We don't know anything about that.
Yeah, don't tell anybody. But. We'll do a review, a more in-depth review of the DVD when it's ready to hit the streets at the end of July.
Okay.
But yeah, he's getting ready to sign an autograph for you. And I said, well, what are you going to write? He's like, well, what should I write? And my wife, who's standing next to me, she says, write something about being a douchebag. Because she knows she's heard our show. So she knows that that's
one of
our
favorite things to say. Everybody's a douchebag.
Yes. Which we can say on the internet, but not on the radio, as we all know.
Allegedly.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. they're not gonna test run that in the infancy of the show. We're not gonna want to go, hey, everybody, douchebag, and then booger, you know, and all that good stuff that got Johnny Fever knocked off of TV. But yeah, so there you go. The Zen and the Art of Competitive Eating. We're gonna do an early review of that. That's gonna be out and hyped it up like crazy.
Cool.
Because
very cool. I can't wait to watch.
And then a little. We got a little sound clip here from Legs to talk about some of the stuff that is in the extra features, which, because you may have seen this, people may have seen this movie on, like, I think it was on the History Channel or the Learning Channel or something like that. It was on cable. And I never got a chance to tape it, and then I got a DVR and they stopped playing it, so
right.
Now it's out. And, of course, I am a complete, whore for DVD. So I, you know, hey, Links, let me see this thing, because I haven't seen it yet, and I'll completely whore it out for you all you want.
Right.
But here's a clip from Crazy Legs Connie talking about the film and the extras, the special features on the DVD.
The DVD extras are a plethora of a buffet. We actually took two Coyote Ugly bartenders, put them in hot dog halter tops and burger bikinis, and have Tim Eater X dunking their buns, because we knew that fat guys at the movies would not accept, you know, Zen and the Art of Competitive Eating without boobs. And the truth was, there were boobs in the early Preakness scene, and they cut it away. The filmmakers decided to do that dreaded go for the PG rating. So this is our unrated DVD release. But we do have girls in hot dog halter tops and burger bikinis just for fat guys at the movies. Not only the most influential voice in film, the only influential voice in film.
Now my question as a fat guy and as a competitive eater is, how did Tim get that gig and why didn't you call me?
You know, the hope is that at the 10-year anniversary, we can sort of escalate that stunt to have the top 50 eaters in the world all dunking the bunettes in perhaps a giant vat of lemonade or whatever alternative beverage becomes in vogue then. So look for that on maybe the 10-year release, is just sort of It's a Wonderful Life meets, I don't really even know, because I'm distracted thinking about that scene.
And I was distracted when he's talking about it, because what I want to do is I think we should figure out what alternative beverage. And in fact, I think we should take it with a shoe fly pie. This would be perfect for like Dutch Amish town area, is to take the bunettes and have us dunk them in like a vat of molasses. And then we can eat the shoe fly pie and roll around with them in there. I thought it would be a great idea for him.
All right.
Cool. I mean, I might be able, even though you're not a competitive eater, I might be able to sneak you in under the radar.
To hang out with
into this thing. Yeah.
As long as I don't have to watch anybody eat butter, because I will puke.
No, butter's
Butter's like a it's
butter's
a, it's
one
a black
of those exotic
thing.
Foods. We'll call it. They did have a pig's feet contest, like I said, with Arturo walked away with the title on that one.
Ew. Before we get off this subject, I have to read the quote that is on the front of this. This is a real quote, and we talk about pull quotes all the time as critics, and like trying to get your quote and like feeling cool. But a movie like this, you wouldn't expect a big person to give a quote, and it's A.O. Scott from the New York Times, and he's a pretty big deal.
He's a big deal.
And he says, "It fits somewhere alongside Super Size Me and Inside Deep Throat."
All right.
That is awesome.
That is awesome.
So I can't wait to actually
watch it. It's package designed by the guy who did Cannibal Holocaust, I think is what Legs was telling me.
Nice.
Yeah. And
which
I told
made
him,
our
which
list
made
of,
our top 10 list. I was telling
10,
him that.
Ultraviolent.
And then Legs turned around and said, yeah, but it was an Italian movie. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And he's like, you mentioned that in there. I go, yeah, I know. It's just all the Japanese stuff I haven't seen.
So definitely thanks to Crazy Legs for listening to the show. Thanks for the DVD and the autograph.
Big fan.
And,
he's an awesome guy.
You're definitely not a douche to me either. So.
Yes.
Moving on, we are going to take a little break here, and when we're going to come back, we're going to hit you with some movie stuff.
Since we are fat guys at
since
the movie.
Since we are fat guys
at movie
the movie. This was movie related.
Yeah, it was movie
we
related.
We're going to come back, talk about a little box office, and do some DVD picks of the week. So we'll see you on the other side. And welcome back to Fat Guys the Movies, the internet exclusive explicit content
Chips.
Sunday show.
I really haven't unloaded yet. I mean, we will later.
We're
in
saving
the third
that for
break,
the third
I will unload,
segment, which is
and
going
I'll
to,
say the dreaded word.
Yes.
What is the dreaded word?
What?
I don't know. I couldn't come up with a good follow-up.
We'll figure out what the dreaded word is, but first we have to
pussy
do
fart.
Our,
that's what the dreaded word
wow,
is.
Wow, excellent. We have to do our obligation and talk about actual movie news for a couple of minutes.
I'm so glad.
Because that is what you come to us for, if not anything else.
Not
so
after today.
I'm going to run down the top 10 box office. It was kind of a disappointing week. I know you didn't predict Evan Almighty to do very well. I predicted it to go
I think
over
it actually
40 million.
I think it did worse than I predicted.
It may have. We'll have to.
I said
30
million
to 35.
Range.
So
what did it end up with?
32 million. But it finished first, which, I mean, it was kind
okay,
of a,
yeah,
a light
finished
weekend.
First. It was first against, like.
Yeah. Not a whole lot. But notable is the film that finished number two at 20.1 million is 1408. R-rated
right.
horror flick. So
No, it was PG-13.
It was PG-13?
PG-13.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because they can only say
that's right,
once.
We forgot those quotes. We're going to do those quotes from that.
Oh, well.
I got to do a quote from that.
All right.
We'll
play one quote.
Talk about it, and I'll find it.
All right. Coming into third, a 65% drop. From its week last week, Fantastic Four: Rise of the Silver Surfer, 20.1 million. Ocean's 13 in fourth at 11 million, knocked up at 10 million, knocked up staying strong. Another $10 million weekend. Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End at 7 million, Surf's Up at 6. Shrek the Third still hanging around at number 8. Nancy Drew at number 9. And A Mighty Heart, the big tankola, got the big chop. This week.
Oh, man. Yeah, let's just like, no about me saying pussy fart is going to like overcome that level of bad taste.
I'm just kidding.
I have to stand up. I'm insulted. I have to make myself look like I'm a higher person in society than you. Shame on you.
Yes, that was my gift to you because now you look like the good guy.
Now, yeah, you had to work on that one.
But there is something to say there about A Mighty Heart. It did not do very well.
You know, I think, though, the thing is, And we saw this last year. I mean, World Trade Center did okay. But United 93 just didn't do well. And it was just so visceral. The country, for as much as people like to see sensationalism, they love to see violence on screen. But when you really feel like you've lived through it, and 9/11
right.
We all lived through, even if you didn't know anybody, we all saw it happening and the horror of it. And the same thing with the Daniel Pearl thing. Even though very few of us knew Daniel Pearl, I didn't know him.
Right.
But and the video's out there on the internet. You can still watch the video, and it's an awful, hideous thing, which I think people should watch. Just on my own, this is my own political take on this. I think people should watch it because I think you forget what kind of monster some of these people really are. To watch what happens is really kind of hideous. It is hideous, not just kind of.
Well, yeah,
it is.
That's why I don't watch it.
Yeah, but I think. There are some people who like hide behind platitudes and are like, oh, but they're just trying to be freedom fighters. And like, dude, they cut the guy's head off. And it was a hideous thing to watch. But I mean, it's out there, and it really – people don't want to watch the pain from this.
I agree.
And I think that that's what that's not a reflection on it being a bad movie.
Okay. Cool. So do you have anything to say about Evan Almighty, though? This is your time.
I told you
I
so.
I can't really defend myself
well,
on this.
Well, okay,
one.
Are we going to talk about... We were talking about this before we went on the air, and you were saying that people are, oh, it's because of sequels, and everyone's all pissed off at sequels.
Interestingly enough, John Cairns, who writes the Reject Report for Film School Rejects, he does it every Friday and Sunday, check it out, made a very interesting point to me about how people are becoming sequeled out this summer. I mean, you look at it, and it started with Spider-Man, obviously, and Shrek, and Pirates, and Oceans, and Hostel. And as it has gone through the summer, yes, to the point that I think you're going to make in a minute here, there are a lot of good movies. There are a lot of big movies out. But I think if you look at the sequels, they're kind of waning a little bit. And Fantastic Four, with a huge drop this week, is kind of showing that. So people are kind of like, I'm sick of seeing movies that I'm so familiar with. I want to see something new, and I want to see something fresh, which for me, very good for Ratatouille and Transformers, not so good for Live Free and Die Hard, I think.
Well, there's a couple things going on. First of all, most of the sequels are actually doing well. You had Hostel and Evan Almighty didn't do well, and I think those have nothing to do with them being sequels. Evan Almighty was a piece of shit. It was a terrible movie, and I can say that. It was a piece of shit, 300 cubits, 50 cubits high. It was just terrible.
Right.
And they spent a lot of money in it, but just because you throw money in a movie doesn't mean it's going to make money. And Hollywood never, I think, gets that. So I think Evan Almighty bombed because it was Evan Almighty. It was a bad movie. It was not well executed. I don't think it connected. They were trying to go for the religious significance, but then they kind of sort of was soft on that. And they were trying to go for family comedies, but then they had some stuff that was arguably inappropriate for family. It was just a poorly constructed film, you know. And when in terms comes to Hostel, I don't think it's that Hostel was a sequel that caused a problem for Hostel 2. I think what caused the problem for Hostel 2 was people are just tired of this kind of movie, which again bodes well for why 1408 did well. 1408 was something different, and we've been thrown torture porn for the last year and a half,
if not longer. I mean, 2004, wasn't it Saw?
Well, Saw.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it really, really. Well, see, Saw did so well that then they started throwing it. I mean, you could arguably say we were just getting inundated with torture porn from the beginning of 2006. We've been inundated with horror films since 2004 because we had 28 days in 2003. You had 28 Days Later and Saw do very well.
Right.
But it's not that people are tired with horror. People are tired with the same thing. A bunch of people getting tortured and beat up or whatever.
Isn't that the same thing with the comic book movies? I mean, people are getting tired of the same.
It's no longer. Well, it's not they're getting tired on the comic book movie. I think it's just it's no longer unique. It's no longer.
It's not as fun anymore.
Brilliant.
You go
yeah.
and you know what you're going to get. And I think, you know,
so,
I don't know.
But I mean, to say that sequels aren't doing well this summer, I have begged to differ. You got Shrek, which I didn't like, but Shrek is doing really well. Spider-Man's $330 million. True, it made almost half of that its first
right.
weekend.
Shrek's at $307
million,
by the way.
Shrek's at $307 million. You've got
Pirates.
Pirates is doing okay, but again, I don't think people are sick of Pirates. It was a three-hour movie. It should have been shorter. I think every single example of this is explainable a different way. I just want to be, because you know what's going to happen? They're going to turn around. There's going to be a sequel that's going to, Harry Potter will come out and people are like, oh my God, and it'll do really well or something like that.
Right.
You don't know.
Right.
You know, and for that matter, if sequels were the big deal, Nancy Drew should have made $1 million, $100 million, and it didn't. It made about $1 million. You know?
Right.
So,
well, but I do think at this point though, it does kind of bode well for this next round of films.
Yeah.
I think Ratatouille is going to do well. I know we can't talk about it yet, but it's going to do well. Hopefully. Well, I mean, I'm hoping it does well. And then Transformers is going to clean the board, basically.
I don't think it's going to be the top grossing movie this summer. And I'll tell you why. Because it's too much hype. At this point, there's so much hype for Transformers. I don't think it's going to be this. It's not going to make $400 million. It'll probably just squeak by $300 million, maybe. But
I don't know.
I think what's going to happen with Transformers, you're going to get the exact same thing you got with Spider-Man and everything. When you get big event movies, and there's a lot of them this summer, Transformers is going to have this massive opening week. But I think, like Spider-Man, everyone who's wanted to see Transformers will see it its opening weekend, and then it'll have a sharp drop off as well because it's got other films coming up.
All right, well, we'll see.
And Die Hard, I mean, Die Hard's a great movie, but it's 15 years in the making. You know, it's kind of like, we got this one coming out? Right. I mean, it's a good movie, and it's an action movie. I think it'll do well, but I don't know if it's going to...
I don't think
it's not going to break records.
It won't break any records. But I think Transformers still has a chance. But
I don't know.
We will let you know on Thursday, because we will have our exclusive Fat Guys in the Movies review of Transformers on our Thursday show. So, moving on.
Well, you want to hear the clip about 1408.
Yeah, let's hear the 1408.
This is Sam Jackson. Great. This is explaining the PG-13 thing here.
It's PG-13, and I was getting tortured in this room for 15 weeks, and you're being tortured, and all you want to do is just swear. You want to go fuck shit, right? But you can't because Sam's got the great room. He's got the evil fucking room. There's one fuck.
Yeah, one. No.
And they give it to Sam. You just took it because you had the cool line, and I got nothing during all the torture.
Yeah, but that's a T-shirt, you know.
I know,
it's an evil fucking room. Just, you know, in a room going, fuck! That's not a T-shirt.
It's all about T-shirts. And then one more thing I got to throw on that John Cusack added about Paris Hilton.
I think all heiresses should be put in prison on general principle.
No, not my daughter, no!
All heiresses, any heir to a...
My daughter's an accidental heiress, only because of what I've done.
No, but I'm talking about old money.
Oh, right? Old money, all right.
Yes, you heard it here. John Cusack wants all heiresses to go to prison, just like Paris.
I think they should create a special prison, and they should let me run it.
I think they should create a special prison, and me and Crazy Legs Connie and Tim Eater X Janice can just put them all in...
Can dunk them in molasses.
Dunk them in molasses, and...
All right.
But only cute, like people like Paris Hilton and... Hilton, but like Kim Kardashian.
Okay.
Ooh, that's a good tape.
Yeah.
So I've heard.
Anyway, speaking of Sam Jackson, moving on to a little DVD roundup... this is first. I guess we'll start talking about Black Snake Moan on DVD.
Yeah, because he's not Tuesday. In Shooter. I mean, that's not much of a segue if you're going to not talk. About
I would that. Say if there's one pick of the week that I had to pick, it would be Black Snake Moan.
Oh hell yeah, Black Snake Moan was an awesome movie.
Yeah, despite the fact that so that's out. Shooter, I thought Shooter was a great movie. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I mean, I remember talking about...
Shooter was good.
It had some of the coolest, like, just explosions.
It had the best explosion. Well, at least until this summer. Because trust me, Die Hard has some cool explosions, but Transformers is going to blow...
Everything's going to
no
explode.
Pun intended, blow everything away.
Yeah, but I tell you what, in Shooter, this is why you should go out and buy Shooter. There is a scene, it's towards the end of the movie, the guy who plays Casey Jones in the old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies, I can't remember what that guy's name is, but he's standing there and he's holding somebody hostage, and they're on this big snow mountain, and he's like screaming out to Mark Wahlberg's character, he's like, what are you going to do, what are you going to do, and all of a sudden you just hear this, and you see his hand get blown
off. That's the guy who played... Who's
yeah, he played Casey Jones in
the
old
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like their sidekick guy?
Yeah, like
that was
back
him?
In the 90s.
I never watched it.
Love that movie. And that's where I remember him from. And he shoots his hand off, and the gun falls out.
And you don't need to see the movie now, because
Neil
has completely spoiled it.
This is not a
everybody.
Spoiler, because it's like towards, like, it's like three quarters of the way through the movie.
And Norman Bates dresses as his mother.
and he's like, nice shot, and he's waving his arm around, and all of a sudden, boom, his whole arm explodes. It was... the best sniper scene I've ever seen in
my
life.
So the surprise is now all gone.
So,
thank you, Neil.
But I don't care if you
know
it's coming or not.
Let me tell you something. Guess what? It's a sled. Rosebud is a sled. There you go.
If you know it's coming or not,
you're like
it still
violating
blows you
everything
away.
You should. How dare you, as a film critic, sit there and tell what happens at the end of a movie?
That is not
shame
at the
on
end.
You.
And I don't care if you know it's coming. It's still like I
no,
saw it twice.
No,
it
I'm
it blew
you,
me away the second time.
I don't care about explosions. Kate Mara nips out in one scene and she looks hot.
That you just spoiled the best part of the movie.
That's not the ending. It's not like there's
another
ending. Yes,
about.
It was. That was the ending. That's at the
no,
end.
It's not at the end.
The sniper scene at the end in the snow. That's what's happening.
Towards the end.
It would be like. If there was this, there was she someone's being held hostage and Kate Mara like flashes and nips out and that's like what stops everything and like that's what distracts the guy and then he can get shot
because that would have been a great way to end
it. I still would see it knowing that that would be the ending, but that's not the ending. Yours that mine has nothing to do with the plot. It's just Kate Mara's nipples.
Okay,
and they look great.
Excellent
on the screen. They, like, those nipples were at least how big would you say those nipples were on the screen? 7-8 inches.
On the big screen?
Yeah. I mean,
oh,
they were huge. It was awesome. But speaking of nipples, let's go back to Black Snake Moan.
Yeah.
Christina Ricci is so incredibly hot in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
I was just blown away. And actually, and I've got, I mean, I don't know if we want to link to it or anything like that. I've got an interview with Craig Brewer on 7M Pictures.
Yeah, we can throw up a link to
it. Because he talks
about
it.
We'll put it in our show notes.
Yeah, he talks about it, and he talks about how her, kind of the image he was going for was sort of the mudflap girl.
Yeah,
and when he said that, I'm like, oh yeah, you totally nailed it. I mean, it was, and she's awesome in the movie, and my first question to him was, who was your inspiration for the character, and can I have her phone number?
Because you're into those trashy girls,
like,
that's
oh
the
my god, she's
girl,
like the
right?
ultimate trashy girl in a movie of all times. Actually, nice. Actually, you know, we were talking earlier. Off the air about Paige's list on Film School Rejects about
Paige
Crazy
McGregor. Paige, awesome list.
You know, I would almost say that
if we made a top 10,
if we did a top 10 list, you'd have to put Christina Ricci from the character of Ray, because she's dangerous. She's crazy.
Yep. So
she's a special kind of crazy. I'd like to butter on
we'll
some
throw,
toast
we'll
and
throw
have
a link
for breakfast.
To Paige's list in our show notes as well.
You missed my great line.
What?
She's the kind of crazy I'd like to butter on some toast and have for breakfast.
Oh. Wow. All right. We got to move on a little
bit. I was
bit.
Totally spontaneous. So I didn't even write
are,
that down. I told
those
you
are,
I was going to be spontaneous through the whole.
Those are our two Definitely Rocks recommendations. Shooter,
you
got to
talk about Pride.
Shooter,
about
Black Snake Moan. Also out, Dead Silence from two of the six writers of Saw.
So like, avoid this movie.
Avoid,
it's absolute
avoid
shit.
Avoid Dead Silence. Because
we can say shit.
Pride.
More shit.
Wasn't as bad, I guess, as I expected it to be, but I expected it to be pretty bad.
You know
so
what? This
still
is,
wasn't that good.
This is what I didn't like about
it. It was
Pride.
Really disappointing. It was cheesy.
Pride was the most racist movie I've ever seen.
It was one of them.
Because, I mean, like it's like literally... Every white guy except like the coach at the beginning is like, screw the man, screw the black man. And that's exactly what it is. And it's like, let's beat them because they're black. It is so roaringly racist. I mean, it's like, it's basically saying that it's good that we can beat down these suburban white kids.
Right.
And I think it really sends a bad message.
Right. Well, yeah, so, I'm gonna agree with that.
Go
was,
read my
it was
review.
Very, it was very one-sided.
My
I,
reviews on some film
I mean,
school rejects, isn't it?
For Pride,
I think it's
so.
one of the first ones you put up.
Yeah. And also Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon. I haven't seen it, but I'm actually.
I know nothing about this movie.
It's making a lot of noise in the film festival.
I could have gotten it. It's from Anchor Bay
Arena. So maybe we'll have a DVD review of that. It's kind of one of those that's just getting into the States, but I heard a lot of good things. Like it was at the Toronto Film Festival and. A lot of people were all about it.
Well, you forgot to mention your favorite pick. Your pick of the week was High School Musical, The Concert.
High School Musical, The Concert is also out. I didn't see that, dude.
Zac Efron's not even in it. I heard you were crying because of that.
Yes.
Do you even know who Zac Efron is?
He's the guy from Hairspray.
That's right. Yeah, that's why he couldn't be in The Concert. It came to Columbus, man, our hometown. And you missed it. Oh, no, you didn't. I saw you there. Or I heard you were there. I wasn't there.
Oh, now, see? All right.
That was what a comeback.
Also, on
meet
DVD,
the
there is
after school.
A rated version of Dead Silence, which is probably even worse than the unrated version of Dead Silence. Monk season 5.
I saw
5.
The rated version in the theater. It was bad. So
yeah.
I can't.
Psych season 1. I don't even know what that is. Gomer Pyle season 2. Also, no idea.
You don't know what Gomer Pyle is?
Miami Vice season 5.
Do you not know
dude, these are from like the 70s.
You've never heard of Gomer Pyle?
Like, I know Gomer Pyle. Like, wasn't that the
Gomer
guy from
Pyle,
the Full Metal Jacket?
What? But you know where he got the name from?
No.
Oh my God! You are incompetent. Gomer Pyle was Jim Neighbor's TV show back in like the 60s. Surprise, surprise, goalie. You never heard that whole thing?
No.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Our street cred just went down because...
Yeah, our street cred with the...
Because the players love Gomer
with
Pyle.
The 30 to 50-year-old...
Gomer Pyle was a, basically a big... Was a he was a character from the Andy Griffith Show, I think. And he went and they did a spinoff of him joining the Marines, and he was the incompetent sort of Marine, and his commander was always at odds with him. And that's why in Full Metal Jacket he called Matthew Modine's character Gomer Pyle, because he was sort of like the country bumpkin, and he had no other good... No, he was Joker. Who was Gomer Pyle? It was
guy who shot himself.
Yeah, D'Onofrio.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was a big, dumb, stupid idiot.
Yeah, from Texas.
That's right. Of course, I don't think Gomer Pyle didn't shoot anybody. Like, I didn't even like murder anybody in there. I think he may have shot people, and you know, like accidentally shot his foot. The only one I remember, he once put a brass boot on him, and it didn't come off.
Nice.
Not a great show.
The only other one was The Peaceful Warrior.
We spent more time talking about Gomer Pyle than competitive eating, I think.
I think so. Yeah. Peaceful Warrior, Nick Nolte. It's like a re-release.
Is there any boobs in this?
Nope.
Skip it.
All right.
This is going to be the worst show we've ever done. Email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects and let us know how bad this show
is. And you can email our lawyers at lawyers@filmschoolrejects.com if you're offended at any point during this show.
If you're offended, the hell with you.
Yes. So we're going to
just wait till the next segment.
Yes, we're going to go to break. We're going to come back and we're going to offend you a little bit more. And we're back, and you're listening to Fat Guys, the Movies, the most offensive film critics on the planet.
Neil talking, let's make light of beheadings and national tragedies.
All right. So
we're going to make fun of cancer in the next segment.
Actually, in this segment, all bets are off at this point.
We are going to swear. I am livid at this segment. So just
this segment.
You thought my pussy fart comment in the earlier segment was gross?
Bad. Wait till you hear what we've got in store for you. We are going to talk in this last segment about movie theater etiquette. This is always a big topic among film critics. I think we talk about this once per week.
Am I telling my story about why this sparked? Or we
no, I
want to
play the clip first. Okay, so we're going to play a little clip. One of my favorite comedians out there, his name's Daniel Tosh. He just had a special on Comedy Central.
I'll bet Daniel Tosh knows who Gomer Pyle is.
I don't know. He's from the OC.
Check him out. I'll bet you he knows who can you email him?
I don't know. Maybe we'll try and get an interview with him.
Let's email him and ask him we have a bet. We need to know if you know who Gomer Pyle is. He'll probably respond to that.
All right. So in this little comedy bit, he's talking about the WWJD bracelets and in a movie theater. So
I got a story about that too. We got two. So what am I going to do first?
We're going to play the clip. We'll come back, think about it while we're listening to the clip here.
I wore a WWJD bracelet to a movie theater once when a guy's cell phone went off. One of those obnoxious rings where it's a song. He doesn't want to answer it because the good part's coming. Lean back. Lean back. Have you had somebody answer a phone in the theater lately? It's enough to make you go insane. What's up? No, I'm in the movies. This is what I said verbatim, and I'm not censoring myself. Hey, buddy, get off the phone, please. Agreed, that's acceptable. This is what he says to me. Shut up and mind your own business, asshole. Take a good look at me. I'm a man. Not much of one, but a man. Now you're gonna get choked. I had my hands at his neck, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw it staring right in my face. WWJD. It was upside down, but I knew what it said. What would Jesus do? So I lit him on fire and sent him to hell. I'm a good person. Thanks a lot. Have a good night.
That was awesome.
You like that?
Lit him on fire, set him to hell. You know, I got reminded as we were listening to this, I have to talk about one other thing before we go into the list, and it's a great WWJD story. As you know, I was camping in the wilderness of Pennsylvania this weekend.
Right.
And have you done any camping? Like at state parks and stuff like that?
Not in a long time. I don't go outside.
You don't go outside. You don't see horror movies.
I go play golf, and I don't go where anybody
golf
can chop my head off. Okay.
Okay. Enough with the chopping of the heads. What is going on? Anyways. We were at a state park in Pennsylvania. If you've never camped in there, they're great places. They're usually run really, really well. It is full of white trash, I'll tell you. It is amazing how many white trash people camp because it's a cheap vacation and they can drink beer.
Good place for you to meet girls.
That's right, because I love the trash. Oh, there was this one girl all tatted up and everything. Geez. Anyways,
back to the WWJD thing.
So we were there, and two campsites down from us, my wife and I had our tent with my sons there, and I know Adam and Jewel is going to yell at me for talking about my kids, but two sites down, there's because everyone's got a trailer, so it's trailer trash. Was sitting there in their they had their trailer and their tent and everything, and they had tiki torches out front and all that kind of stuff. And this guy had a pickup truck, this old beat up pickup truck that he had painted, not with any sort of like car paint, but with like just, you know, like acrylic paint or lead paint or something like that. That said,
like paint that's not supposed to go on your car.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't look right. But it says on the back of the tailgate, it says WWJD. I'm like, okay, that's cool. You know, hey, you're passionate about that. Above it though, get her done. It says get her done. And I said to my wife, I'm taking a picture of that. And so I go by it, and of course they're sitting there at the white trash contingency sitting there. And I have the camera. I'm like, I said, I want to take a picture of that. I lie to him because I'm not going to tell him. I'm going to take this picture and then make fun of you to all my friends and everybody and put it on the radio and all that good stuff. Well, and I've got a picture. We'll put it on link. Can we link it on full?
Yeah.
Yes. You'll get to see this WW. Because I'm like,
we'll
have
put
to take
it in
a picture.
The show notes.
The two greatest prophets known to man, Jesus Christ and Larry the Cable Guy, on the back of one pickup. So I'm taking a picture of it, and I lie to him. I say, I got a friend back home who's really into Jesus and he loves Larry the Cable Guy.
Because those two things go hand in hand.
Exactly. They both have beards. Come on. You know, so I take a picture of the truck. And they're like, then they like start witnessing to me. Or like really what it is there's this old, this ugly, well, she's not old because, you know, she's like a grandmother at 45 or whatever. And she's there telling me, yeah, this is my son. And hey, he does it because it's get her done, go to Jesus. And, you know, it's like I'm ready for him to whip out the Bibles and start, you know, trying to convert me. And in the middle of this, this guy, this old, like 50-year-old man, kind of comes walking into the thing, starts yelling at the woman because apparently, and they had a fight about this earlier, and my wife had like called the ranger about it. And she was like, the guy's like, your son is a, they're yelling. And she's like, my son's in jail because of yours. And it was this redneck smackdown. It was the most hysterical thing. I couldn't understand what was going on, but all I figured out was the guy's son had ADHD. And somehow caused her son to be in jail, and somebody owed somebody $50. And they just yelled at each other, and then he walked away. So it's not like he went to accomplish anything. He just came over to yell at him and walk away.
Nice.
And I'm like, what I thought the funniest, the $50 was the funniest. Because then she's like, you owe me $50 and I want my money back. And I'm like, your son's in jail, but that $50 is going to make everything okay.
Right.
So this is what you get when you camp at state parks.
Nice.
But anyways, that
we
was the WWJD.
What were we talking about? All right, we're
talking
about movie
etiquette.
Speaking
of white trash, this actually is a great segue.
So let's talk
white trash.
Let's preface this of where we were, and I want to tell a little bit of story. We went to see Ratatouille.
And for those of Disney, because we all know that everyone's
going to listen,
we're not
going to talk
about Ratatouille at all. We're just going to talk about the movie experience in the theater.
Yes. So we walk out, and I was sitting with a bunch of other.
Well, you came in. What was your mood coming in?
I was not happy with life at that point. I was just kind of mad about all kinds of stuff. So I was in a bad mood, and Ratatouille made me feel a little bit better. And I'm sitting up in the second level of the theater with a bunch of other cool film critics, and we're all hanging out. And Kevin had to sit away from us because he showed up late, like he always does.
Well, no, I had my friend with me.
Oh, yeah.
You had a seat for me, but you didn't have two seats.
Okay. So Kevin's sitting
And I hadn't showered since
three or four rows down. So we get up to leave the movie. credits are rolling. Walking down the aisle, he's sitting on the aisle, and I like tap his seat, and I was like, "Hey, dude, what'd you think?" You know, all excited, and he looks up and he's like, "This fucking crowd was so terrible, and, like, really loud, and there's people all around looking at
with
him,
kids,
and I'm like,
that's the best part.
There are
people with kids, and I'm just like,
and
swearing.
Everybody just stops, and then he goes on this rant, and you're just beyond livid at this point. Because you had such an awful experience.
Well, and this is the thing, and the only thing I'll say about Ratatouille is it's not a movie for the little kid. It's not like Surf's Up that's just got fart and poop jokes throughout the whole thing and loud music.
Right.
And that's all I'm going to say. So some kids, little kids, got bored. I mean, you bring a 3-year-old to this movie, it's probably not for them. And it was just nonstop. People, kids walking. This kid was literally jumping down the stairs, and his idiot asshole father was just walking alongside him like nobody cared. And I'm like, and I'm literally at the other end of the theater. It was vibrating. This like 20-pound child was bouncing the seats that I was in. And then there's this woman who comes in. She's in a, she had got an infant, a 4-month-old infant in a snuggly. I mean, she was prepared for this
movie.
Which,
for those of you who can't see the visual, is one of those things you put on your
Dr. Evil
your stomach.
Was holding yeah. Mini-Me in one in the set, in the right. Third Austin Powers movie. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. I don't care if it's the kids' movie for the youngest kids in the world. A 4-month-old doesn't give a crap about the movie. All it's going right. to do is make noise. And, of course, it did. And what did she do? Oh, shh, 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 oh, be, shh, 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 for like 5 minutes. I'm like, they never shut up. The kids will cry and fuss until they're fed, changed, or walked. That's the way it is. I got 2 kids. I know how this drill works.
Mm-hmm.
And then people would take their kids out, but they wouldn't leave the theater. They stood in the sort of like the entry aisle, so I could still hear them because it was like right next to me. It just be, and then this woman behind me was like crunching her drink. had this icy thing, and,
yeah,
and it has that little round top to it.
Yeah.
I love those things, but when I drink it, and then I put it down. She was going.
It's kind of like one of those Snapple caps. I love those things where you can pop them in and out.
Yeah,
I want to do that in a movie once.
Oh my! But the thing is, the worst part about it is it's bad enough when it's like somebody right behind you making noise. It was there's only this idiot woman with the icy, and she only did it for like, I didn't even get a chance to yell at her because she didn't, I think she, through her thick, stupid head, finally realized that, oh,
right.
This might be annoying. But the problem is, the problems were from people at the other end of the theater, and I could hear the kids, and you're like, I didn't hear kids. I'm like,
yeah, I'm not kidding. I didn't notice any of this.
Oh,
I must have been just so engrossed in the movie that I just tuned everything else out.
I couldn't, and it's everybody. There was a kid that was screaming and crying in the back and then down front. I'm just like, oh. I was so mad. I was mad. I didn't get unmad until I was in New Jersey the next day. And then I was happy, and I ate hot dogs and only ate 10.
Yeah. So I was just amazed. It was so, in honor of that, in honor of all the people who were at the Thursday Ratatouille screening at the AMC Lennox here in Columbus, Ohio.
Taste the venom, you white trash.
If you're listening right
now,
this list is for you. So yes. We have created the Fat Guys the Movie's official not safe for work version. Eight simple rules for not being a douchebag in a movie theater, or 8 simple rules for being a good movie theater patron.
That's the yeah.
Yeah, but that's the clean title we'll put on Film Score Rejection.
Can I do the first one?
Yes, go ahead with number one.
Shut the fuck up is what
and
I said.
You know where this one comes from? Is if you ever go to an AMC theater, which they have all over the place, they have that thing where it's like silence is golden,
yeah.
And the thing like the AMC thing rises. I just wanted to say shut the fuck up at the bottom.
Well,
like,
no, I also said shut the fuck up to a bunch of kids in I was telling you about
California.
That. Oxford, California scared them off. They left the theater, and I was the hero to everybody. It was like that. Did you watch Seinfeld, or was that before your time too?
No, I watched Seinfeld.
No, Seinfeld. There's that scene where George gets up in the middle of the movie theater and yells at the guys, and
right.
Everyone claps.
You did
that.
That
was me
nice.
In Oxford, California. Little pieces of shit trophy wives in training.
Nice. Those girls need to go to jail.
Yeah. Don't talk during a movie. I know there are DVDs, but get your head out of your ass and realize that a movie theater is not DVDs. You're not at home with your friends. Why do people talk? This is, and the thing is, it's preaching to the crowd because people are listening to this. I'm sure that most of the people listening to this aren't talking in movies.
Right.
But you know what? You know what? This isn't just rule number one. Just learn to say this. Next time somebody's talking in a movie, turn around and say, shut the fuck up.
Yes.
You'll be surprised
or, hey,
at the respect you get.
get off your phone, please.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah. And then beat him to death and set him on fire.
Right.
What would Jesus? Because I called the cop at the AMC seeing Munich.
Right.
And it's Munich. It's not like it's not like Surf's Up.
Right.
It's Munich. It's an Oscar nominated film. And these guys were like having a discussion during it. And I shushed them, like, yeah, shush. I'm like, oh, it's on. So I walk out and I'm trying to find an usher. No, there wasn't an usher, but there was a cop doing security. And I said, do you know there's an usher that I can tell him to be quiet? He's like, I'll tell him to be quiet. I'm going to tell him to shut the fuck up. And he just comes walking in there and he starts yelling at him. And he was one of those like officers who was like full of rage and he was just taking it out on like the
dorky like the guy little... they won't let him pull people over anymore.
Exactly.
Because he's kicked too many people's asses.
And it was
asses.
Awesome because he tore them all up. And I was like, yes. And then I watched Eric Bana blow the shit out of some terrorists.
Nice. So, rule number two is leave your babies at home.
There has never been a movie made for infants.
Yes. We're talking little babies.
Yeah.
Under a year old.
Until they come out with Baby Einstein, the movie, where you're going to see like flowers and stuff and hear bad music through 2 hours.
Right.
Leave your kids at home.
By far the worst that we've ever seen.
The Snuggly?
Not the Snuggly. Was Feast.
Oh, Feast! Yeah, somebody brought an infant into Feast. Because I'm sure that the four-month-old was going, I really want to see this on the big screen. I want to get the full effect.
Right.
Because they're just putting it right to video tomorrow.
I'm pretty sure that my life was ruined by seeing Poltergeist at like age 8. I can only imagine what Feast would do to a four-month-old.
Kids... don't. And what's going to happen is the movie's loud, and so people have to bring in a sleeping infant. Now, and this goes actually. We'll talk a little bit about this two rules down, but ultimately, leave your babies at home, especially if you're getting free passes to a movie screening. Pay for the fucking babysitter, for crying out loud. You're buying $87 worth of snacks at the snack bar, throw in an extra $20, and have somebody watch your other troglodyte child at home. Jesus, I mean, this woman was with a Snuggly. Okay, leave your babies at home.
Get a
friggin' babysitter. These things go to DVD in 3 months anyways.
Right.
You can't tell me you have to see, you know, whatever, the Blades of Glory on the big screen.
Right.
Get it on DVD.
I have to see it, but not you. All right, rule number three. Turn off your fucking cell phone. In fact, I came up with an idea. They should have a cell phone check where it's mandatory you turn in your cell phone outside the theater and you can't get it till you come back out.
I think what they should do is they should lead line all the cinemas so that you can't get a signal. Period. And then
that
just
would be
they
awesome.
Just don't do it. They just or what they do is they send it and run an electric current around it. Find someone because you can shield that shit.
You can block it.
Yeah,
you
block
can jam
stuff.
That.
Or what you do is you just send up receivers that like make your cell phones go crazy, so it's completely worthless anyways because
right.
you won't hear it. That's what they should do. They should put in some sort of blocking, and they should advertise and say, your cell phone will not work in our theater, and I would pay twice as much to go to a movie there.
Nice.
I'd pay nothing because I see them for free.
Right, we pay twice as much as we currently pay now.
Yes.
But
this is the thing. You're not a surgeon.
Exactly.
You're not a heart surgeon. And if you are on call and you are a heart surgeon, you shouldn't be seeing a goddamn movie anyways. What are you going to be sitting there going, oh, damn it. His aorta blew. I got to see what happens to Rose and Jack. Are they going to live? You know, come on. It's a movie.
I
got to
see if the Titanic really goes down.
And of course, if you've got, because you've brought your whole goddamn family to the movie, you've got your wife and your kids and your sons and your son's sons. No one's ready to call you. You're at a movie. So turn off your fucking cell phone. And if that doesn't work, go back to rule number one.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what I say.
Rule number four. Go ahead. I can't.
If your kids start fussing, don't tell them to because they never shut up. Take them out of the damn theater. Leave. Guess what? You've brought an infant to a movie. If the infant is making noise, take it out. Because people
that
do
was
that.
The funniest part of the Ratatouille story is how that like the one person had the noisy kid and like you're sitting at the end of the aisle next to where the door is and they like took him just around the corner.
Leave the theater because guess what? You can still hear them inside the theater.
And it echoes because it's like a hallway.
Yeah, it's even louder. It just like projects it out there. And you know, it's just take the kid out. That's the life of a parent, people.
Mm.
That's what you do with your kids. If your kids are making noise, take them out. Duh.
Yeah. Common sense.
Yes.
Rule number five, this is one of
This
mine.
Is yours.
Snacks are okay. Loud snacks, not so much. One of the most annoying snacks in a movie theater is Twizzlers because of the you have to like crunch the paper, and I do that because I buy Twizzlers, and the paper crunches, so like you better like take all those Twizzlers out and put them in your pocket or something. I don't care what you do, but don't be crunching paper while I'm trying to watch a movie.
This is actually true. Believe it or not, I have this weird fact in my head. Mm-hmm. It's been scientifically proven that no matter how slowly you do it, it still is loud.
Right.
The pop of a candy wrapper will be as loud as it is, whether it's fast or slow. So just rip the fucking bag open and eat your goddamn Twizzlers, you fat pig. You can't live without that sugar rush for 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's a low-calorie food, though.
It's a low-fat food. It's not a low-calorie food. It's low-fat. Sugar, man.
Oh.
That's why you're a fat guy. You've been eating Twizzlers for breakfast.
Thinking they were low-fat.
And the other thing you don't do is, like, people go, I know that it's expensive at the snack bar. But don't do this thing where you buy, I like the 86-ounce glass. And can I have, like, 7 courtesy cups for my entire family and my baby who's at this movie with me? And then sit there and have a conversation. Do you want some popcorn? And I feel like going, no, I don't want popcorn. I want you to shut the fuck up. Rule number one, people.
I have a feeling rule number one is going to be
rule number one. I want to get T-shirts made that says, fat guys at the movie say, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, in a movie, shut the fuck up.
Yes.
Rule number six, this one's yours.
You know, text messaging does not count as not using your cell phone in a movie theater. Again, you're not a heart surgeon.
Right.
You don't need to. I text message Neil now and then, you know, whatever. Hey, I'm coming home. I'm coming over. I'm bringing you pie because I ate pie in a contest.
Right.
That's not an important text
message.
Those
are my favorite ones, by the way.
Yeah. But it's like, I've literally seen people, the worst part about text messaging, people are so stupid they don't realize that when they open up that portable sun in a dark movie theater, it's just like it's this giant spotlight 5 rows back.
Right.
Everybody can see it. I literally was at a movie, and I forget what it was, but it was some movie. A woman opens her cell phone, gets a text message, and it says, Zachary says he loves you, mommy. It's like 5 words. And she sat there and stared at it for like a half hour. I'm like, how stupid are you? Close the damn cell phone.
Right.
And I mean, because people can see it. Either. And then, you know, it's like, oh, but it's quiet. I'm just doing it. You know, again, was it that important that Zachary tell you that he loves you at that moment? What are you going to do about it? Why couldn't you get that Zachary loves you after the movie?
Right.
Because you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. Turn off your cell phone.
Right. Number 7, one of my favorite ones, and this doesn't apply to every movie because there are movies like the Rocky Horror Picture Show and Grindhouse where we've been to where audience participation is great. But think about this, especially in horror movies. No matter what you say, she's still going to walk through the damn door.
Yeah.
So it serves no purpose for you to say, don't open the door. Don't open the door.
This is a little secret to people out there.
The movie's already made.
Yeah,
okay?
They've made the movie. This was planned from the beginning. They know right. It's going to happen.
You can think it because you're stupid and that's all you think about, but don't say stuff. Do not participate in a movie where everyone else is being quiet.
One of my favorite stories, I got a great story for this one. Did I ever tell you this?
The Last Mimsy?
The Last Mimsy.
Yes.
Yes, my wife and I, we had to go to Detroit, and we saw this movie in Detroit, and it was just packed. The theater was packed. And again, because people were bringing in like 9,000 kids, you'd get these people, they find like a pass somewhere, and they get like 7 passes, and they'd bring like every child in their family. And of course, there's like 1 adult and like a dozen children. And it's just like, why are you letting these people in? Because they're not going to control them. But in this case, it wasn't the kid's fault. We're sitting there. My wife's sitting next to this enormous woman. Ginormous, I think, is a good word for her. And, okay, I'm warning you, there's a little bit of a spoiler here for The Last Mimsy. So if you haven't seen it, you know, turn this off for like that 10 seconds. There's a scene where this girl is like trying to communicate. I forget exactly what she was doing, but she has this portal was open and she was being pulled into this portal and she was holding on to this stuffed animal that was this link to this. This sounds really stupid. But
yeah, I want to run out and get this one.
Get like it right now. Get this movie. And she needed to let go to be dropped back to Earth, you know, like the 6 feet before she got pulled into the pump. And this woman next to her, she's like, let go, whatever her name was, you know, let go, Jenny, let go. And didn't just say it once, just kept going, talking, like the movie wasn't responding to her, so she said it louder and more times, and it shows you how long it went on. At first, my wife was kind of pissed off. She looks at me, she's like, what the hell? And we're sitting there, and then she keeps going, and the scene keeps going, And then we start laughing because the woman just keeps, let go, let go, let go, Jenny, let go, whatever. This woman was an idiot. I'm surprised she could walk down the stairs and drive home.
It's like people who read too many of those you pick the story books.
Choose your own adventure book.
Choose your own adventure books. They're like, I hope it's going to change.
And it's going to pause, and all of a sudden, like, the director's going to walk in and go, oh, you're right. She should let go. Let's have her let go in this next scene. Beep. You know?
Yeah. No, that I don't think that's ever happened. I've been to a lot of movies in my day. Yeah.
But ultimately, this is number 7.
Yeah.
Goes way back to rule number 1.
Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up.
And finally, rule number 8, something my co-host should have taken into account before we started recording tonight.
This is not etiquette for doing a radio show. This is etiquette for doing a movie.
Showers, they exist for a reason, people.
Now, granted, this is not as bad as people bringing babies and cell phones and troglodytes into movies.
I cannot stand sitting next to somebody. I literally make sure that I am clean. I don't, like, we go to screenings in the evenings, and I work all day.
At least freshen up a bit. Spray some spritzer.
And I make sure that
yourself.
I smell, at least not smell.
I've smelled you. You smell like lavender and blueberries.
That's because I powder myself.
That's
before.
Right. Where are you powdering yourself that I'm
come
smelling?
To the movie theater stinky. No muddy, stinky hobo smell. Please.
And for some
reason,
it is
the most obnoxious thing besides people who talk too much.
Yeah. And for some reason, it's always old men.
Always.
It's like an old man, and it's like you can smell him
dying.
And it makes you
can smell him dying.
You can smell death just dripping off of this person. You know, I've been to, and it's not funny. I go to these movie marathons. You know this. We've talked about this.
Yeah,
before.
Like
these
24 hours.
Movie marathons. These wouldn't be so bad if people like showered before they came. So you figure 20, you know, people, like 500 people in a theater for 24 hours, it'll get kind of ripe near the end.
Right.
But
because it's usually 500 like big dudes.
Yes, big dudes like me stinking up the. But shower before you go. It just makes it a lot easier.
Don't come smelly. Leave smelly.
Yeah, and I one time went. I took my sister because she used to kind of watch these movies, and she then, I guess, grew out of it. But she said to me once, she goes, you know, this is the only place I've been where I've gone into the bathroom and it smelled worse coming out.
Nice.
So this shower, people.
Nice.
And shut the fuck up, please.
Yes. If all else fails, just remember, shut the fuck up.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. And shut your babies the fuck up. I don't care if you bring a baby. Just shut it up.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll come shut it up. I'll shake it. That shuts a baby up fast.
Okay, well. All right. So besides being the most offensive show we've ever had, we have now eclipsed our most longest.
Most longest and our least grammatical.
Who cares? We're going to go to a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to send you off with a blaze of glory, I assure
right.
you.
It's as if this doesn't done enough.
Well, it would have been cool. Than you would ever know. On the dashboard and melted, but we still have the radio. Oh, should have been, could have been worse than you would ever know. Well, you told me about nowhere. Well, it sounds like some place I'd like to go. Oh, could have been, should have been.
I'm spent.
Yes, I'm also spent.
Is there anybody out there left listening?
If there's anyone out there left listening, we're pretty much done. Give you a little preview of what we got coming up. Thursday's show, which is going to be
not,
the
not
100.
It's this
the
weekend
show.
Show.
I go by when we record.
This, we
when
can't,
do I have
this
to
is,
show up?
This is our. This is also our launch into the actual real radio world.
Yes, this is the first. Time will be on the radio.
The honest to God air.
Really going to have to clean it up for Thursday, so we were just trying to get all of our system today.
We're not going to have any of this show into this weekend.
Yeah, this one may get buried, the lost episode of Fat Guys the Movies. But on our weekend show, we're going to talk, obviously, about Ratatouille. Less about the movie theater experience, more about the actual
movie.
We'll
actually review the film this time.
We are also going to talk about Live Free or Die Hard and Michael Moore's Sicko. But we're not going to talk too long about Sicko. We're just going to do our quick reviews because Sunday we have a very special guest from Strong Words Incorporated, Josh Ratty, who will be joining us via satellite to talk about Michael Moore's Sicko and the political implications of the American health system, and we're going to let him swear. So that'll be fun.
It'll be Sunday.
There'll be some strong words on that show.
Yeah, not like this one. Is he going to make fun of people getting beheaded, too?
I have no idea.
And cancer?
But I certainly hope so, because it'll make me feel better about myself.
Yeah. You lost all those people that said, Neil's such a nice guy, to your assholeness.
Yep. So, Kevin, finish us up. Where's our contact info?
Contact info. www.fatguysatthemovies.com. Email fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. And voicemail 614-3888. I don't want to do too many eights. 614-388-8735. That's 388 Trek for you Star Trek fans out there.
Yes.
Or not Star Trek fans.
Excellent. So
can we get an email that a voicemail number that says 614 shut the fuck up?
STFU.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh, let's see if that's available.
All right. So we're gonna look into that, and we will see you later in the week.
Shut the fuck up. Yeah, that's not going to Wyoming.
No, not even close.